My name's Alex Webb. I'm here on the behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It's the 10th of October 2009. Could you please state your full name, your date of birth, and where you come from?
My name is Daniel Michael Williams. My date of birth is the 8th of May 1948. Born in South Wales, currently living in Southend-on-Sea.
So what did you first hear about the project?
It would have been in a newspaper, but I can't remember which one. Probably the Telegraph, Weekend Telegraph, maybe.
Okay. And what inspired you to take part?
Foolishness, really. It was late at night. I'd probably had a drink, and I thought it'd be a good idea to spend some time on the plinth. I had no concept of what I wanted to do at that time, although various ideas came up later and were all rejected in the end. But yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you chose not to tell anyone. Could you talk about a little bit about that?
Yeah. Because I was doing it for the personal satisfaction of occupying that space, I didn't feel that I needed to share that with anybody particularly.
Okay.
I didn't want supporters, I didn't want to do any charity stuff or voluntary work stuff, because I do that in my normal everyday life, and this was something out of my ordinary life. And that would have meant sponsorship and so on. I didn't want any of that. I just wanted to, ideally, to have a daytime slot so that I could come to town, spend my 60 minutes on the plinth and go home. My wife wouldn't even know that I'd been. You know, she'd thought I'd been out shopping or gone to the pub or something. So that was my intention in the very beginning. It sort of changed subsequently. Because, of course, when I wasn't selected in the first couple of draws, I almost began to hope that I wouldn't get it, because I hadn't really spent much time thinking about what I would do.
So as you got a later slot, how was the reaction from your...
She wasn't very happy that I'd planned to do something without her knowing anything about it. But as I've chosen to use some of my time on the plinth to promote the Anarchist Book Fair, which is being held later this month, which is something she doesn't approve of at all, she wouldn't have been involved anyway, but you know, she's my wife. She thinks I should tell her everything, and you know, I don't know if you're married, but you know.
Could you tell us the reasons for choosing what you to promote that?
Right. Well, if I can, before I say that, my default position was I wanted to go, because I was doing this for myself, and I wanted it to be fairly anonymous and almost invisible if it could be. My first idea was to just go on the plinth and be as inconspicuous as possible. Lie down, have a sheet over me, not interact with anybody. Because of the way in which the plinth is designed with the view lines, you know, a lot of people walking through the square would have wondered why there was nobody on the plinth, and I thought that was rather nice. But the more I thought about it, that was very selfish, it was a bit precious, and had a sniff of conceptual art about it, which I didn't, and I didn't want any of those things really. So I thought, well, while I'm at the res, may as well promote something. I had recently met some old anarchist colleagues from years gone by, comrades, and mentioned the book fair. I knew it wasn't getting an awful lot of publicity, so I thought, well, I may as well do some promotion of it, even if it's just having a poster and describing to people sort of the things that were going on. I'm not going on the plinth to do any heavy politicising, mainly because I'm not equipped to do it.
Could you tell us a little bit about this? I mean, because for people that perhaps don't know so much.
What about the Anarchist Book Fair? It's held every year in London. It's been going for 20 odd years. It's just a day of activities, meetings, workshops, cabaret, musical acts. There are films shown all through the day. It occurs in lots of different rooms, there's lots of things going on. And lasts all day. There's a creche and there's an area for sort of teenagers and everything. And it's an opportunity for all the various strands of anarchism and libertarianism, of which there are a multitude, to all put their points of view over to a receptive audience. And it's a bit of a get-together because people come from all over the country as well. You know.
Are you involved in the creative arts yourself?
No, never have been.
But you mentioned earlier about your dislike to contemporary art.
I didn't want to do something that smacked of conceptual art.
Okay.
Some conceptual art I like, and some I don't like. I quite like Anthony Gormley's Rusty Men, The first one, which I saw in Birmingham many years ago, was in one of the big squares there.
Mm-hmm.
But he does do a lot of them. You know, it's a bit samey for me. I'm sure he does other stuff, but the only thing I ever see are the Rusty Men.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, anyway. If he was sitting there, I'd have a conversation with him about it. Yeah. There's some art, some modern art I like, some I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I am a member of the Tate,
mm-hmm.
and I do go to galleries a lot. But, yeah.
So what does this project represent to you then? As an art piece?
From an art perspective, virtually nothing, I have to say. Other than the identity of the plinth itself. I've enjoyed some of the things that have been on it recently, particularly that statue of the lady with no arms. Can't remember what it was called. That was very good, and a few of the other things have been very good. And although personally, I would like to see the plinth remain empty, as it is now with the netting around it, but with a ladder, and just for it to be open for people to use as and when they want and as they wish. Very difficult at the moment because it's all covered by the rules of the City of Westminster or whatever.
It might make our job very busy.
Or health. No, well, you wouldn't be here. The whole point would be, I think, to make that a free space, almost like a national embassy where they don't have to obey the rules of the country. So you don't have to worry about health and safety, you know, and all the rest of it. You can have a fag up there if you want and just let people go on it in groups, individually. Leave it open.
Mm.
Maybe put handrails so people won't be throwing themselves off. But I'd like to see it as an open space without any rules at all,
mm-hmm.
for people to just stand on it, do what they want. If somebody wants to sleep on it, then fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are 20 other people who want to sleep on it, they will have to sort it out amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
I think that's a really good idea.
Because that's libertarianism in action, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things that I don't like about this project, the only thing I don't like about this project, are all the rules, really. I know why they're there, you know, legal reasons and all the rest of it, and the council wouldn't have given you permission to do it otherwise.
Mm.
But for me, that spoils it a bit, I think.
Mm.
It's restricting.
Mm.
Because when Anthony Gormley does a statue, he doesn't have to worry about 10 other people making rules about how tall it's going to be, how, you know, what it's going to be made of, and all this, that, and the other. He's got the freedom to do what he likes. Well, everybody on that plinth doesn't have the freedom to do what they like.
Mm.
That's all.
I think it's a really interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background and just from maybe growing up, if that's okay?
Yeah, working class home, brought up on a mining village, council estate, went to grammar school.
Whereabouts was that?
Pontefract in Monmouthshire, as it was then.
Okay.
Then it was Gwent, and now it's Monmouthshire again, I think. Went to university, dropped out after 2 years, very involved in politics in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I was here at the big anti-Vietnam march in October 68, which is, I actually slept in this square for a while, a couple of days before, which is why I came all wrapped up expecting it to be cold, and it's not. Had a series of jobs, lorry driving, tree felling, civil service, various times. And the last 20 odd years been doing computing. In the public sector, and I've retired a couple of years ago.
So
now I spend all my time doing what I want every day.
Yeah. So what would that be? What are your hobbies?
Gardening, walking, talking,
mm-hmm.
Shooting, fishing.
Mm-hmm. Various things. Yeah.
Whatever. I live by the sea, so
mm-hmm.
lots of fresh air.
Is that where you're born? Whereabouts do you live now?
I live in Southend on sea. No, there wasn't any sea where I was born. No.
Mm.
Although because I went and lived some years in Swansea, I've spent more than half of my life by the sea.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is most important in your life at the moment?
Family and the freedom to do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Most days.
Yeah. Do you think this platform's giving you that freedom to?
Well,
but
apart,
like you said,
apart from the rules, yeah.
But
and of course, it's not representative for the country. I mean, I'm sure there are sort of social scientists who'll be planning PhDs from analysing, you know, who's gone up, what they've done, all the rest of it. But of course, that's not statistically valid because a relatively small number of people have applied to go up, an even smaller number of people have been selected, and it's not going to come from all parts of society. It's mainly middle class people, obviously people who've got computers, but everybody else either wasn't interested or didn't have the access. So I don't think it's going to tell us anything about the nation, although it will tell us something maybe about the middle class, I don't know. I'm not going to think about it very profoundly, to be honest. I think that's for other people to have to do.
It's not something that really concerns you so much?
No, not really, no.
Going back to the plinth, what are your hopes, fears and expectations about going up there?
My fears are that I don't adequately promote the book fair, or I can't get a connection with the audience, because I'm not a natural speaker or a performer. I've done very little preparation because there was no preparation I wanted to do. My hopes are that I enjoy the 60 minutes. I don't fall off or faint or something. And that's about it, really. I mean, I've had a very full and active life, so this isn't going to get in the top 20 of my memories, probably, or maybe even not the top 50, unless something really dreadful happens, like somebody throws a brick at me.
Unless we do your idea, we put the rails around and put a ladder up.
Yeah. Well, that would be brilliant if you did that, then I'd feel I'd achieved something, but no. I didn't apply with any profound thing in mind. I really didn't. I don't know whether many people did. I don't know. It's been interesting to see the range of things that people have done. I mean, there's the X Factor, Big Brother type of things, and there's the people who just want to sit there and have a cup of tea. And I think it's all valid and varied. And perhaps there's been more nudity than I expected.
Right.
Because I've been a naturist for 40 years. And I know that the naturist movement in Britain is very small and struggling. I mean, clubs are having to, they're really struggling because they can't get members, mainly because their membership is so old.
Mm-hmm.
The club I'm in, the average age is around about 60.
Right.
They can't attract people. So there clearly aren't many naturists in the country, but there are a lot of people taking their clothes off on the plinth.
Is that something you thought about?
Well, I'm wondering why. If it's not exhibitionism, what is it? I don't know. The lady was up late one night, Sue, because I know her.
Recently?
Yes,
yeah.
The quite large lady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's been promoting naturism for years, and I can see the validity of what she did. But some of the others, I think it was, I don't know. I've got nothing against exhibitionism. But so if you're making a social study, it wouldn't give you a statistically accurate view, I think.
Sure. What is the main thing you say about yourself? You would describe who you are as a person?
Very difficult. I'm not sure I could do that. I mean, the three words I used for the website was free angry citizen. That's just to denote it. As a libertarian, I find Britain, especially the last 12 years, to be becoming a more and more oppressive society.
Okay.
Less things you can do, more people looking over your shoulder, all that sort of stuff. I don't think it's going to get any better in the years to come.
Could you talk a little bit more, just about those views? I mean, are you currently involved in other...
I haven't been politically active in any true sense of the word for many years. It's something I carry in my heart rather than anywhere. It's a bit like religion, I suppose. People believe in something because they believe it. They can't necessarily always rationalise it or prove it or anything else, I know in my heart of hearts that authority is wrong. It's no more profound than that. And if you could have a society where decisions were made collectively by people, and there wasn't always somebody standing over you to bash you over the head, metaphorically or physically, that would be a good thing.
So it was in the 60s, you said?
Yeah.
So what kind of things were you involved in then?
Well, I was a student activist in the 60s. Demonstrations, obviously, sit-ins. That night I had to spend out in the cold here. It was 2 days before the big Vietnam March, and I'd come up a day earlier than all my friends, and the accommodation I'd arranged fell through, so I slept here.
Where did you?
In that corner over there. And I was moved on by the police, so I ended up down at the on the embankment, where I met a couple of tramps by the tea stall there, and they showed me how to make a bivvy out of deck chairs. So I did have a couple of hours kept on there, but it was extremely uncomfortable. And the following day, I met my friends, and I think we squatted in the LSE, because there was a big sit-in going on at the time. Yeah, life was great. It was sit-ins, demos every week. It was quite exciting.
Sounds like a great experience.
Magazine, community magazines we were producing. And I kept that up for about 10 years. Then I moved away from the area where it was all happening, which was Swansea. And sort of put it all behind me for a number of years. But I'm sort of getting back into it now slowly. But I wouldn't say I was a spokesman for the movement at all. And I think that's going to be my problem on the plinth. I don't speak very easily about it. If somebody asks me to give them a deep analysis of what anarchism means, I'd be stumped, to be honest.
So with the events that you were involved with, you were always kind of, was it following, you weren't necessarily heading
well, anarchists don't tend to have people heading things, actually.
Right. Well, I get, but if you're
I was involved in decision making with other people, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how things are done, collectively.
Yeah. Okay. And who would you say you're doing this for?
I'm doing it for me. Selfishly, purely for me. That's all.
It's fine.
Which is why I didn't want particularly friends and other people to know about it or involve them, because I don't want to go back home and people ask me about it, because I'm not sure I could say anything about it. I've done what I wanted to do, hopefully. And that's it. Tomorrow is another day and I'll be doing something else.
Do you feel maybe in the future you'll tell them about your experience, or perhaps not?
No, perhaps not. Probably not. Again, unless somebody hits me on the head with a brick.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for the interview. That's great.
Pleasure. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah.